I know we have a lot of people who are out sick and a lot of people traveling with their families for vacation, so I'm thankful everybody's here today. I hope you all enjoyed your Christmas. For Cindy and I, we had Christmas a couple days late this year. We welcomed our seventh addition to our family Wednesday, so we had Nathan Thomas Saunier. He was born at, 7:18 in the morning, 8 pounds, 10 ounces, so we're very blessed by that. So it's a lot different than the first time we had a baby, you know, these 13 years later. You know, we were just little kids. It seemed like the first time that we had a kid, and now I know I'm not that old, but it almost feel like the grandparent compared to when I was. You know, a lot of time has gone by, and I was sitting in the room holding Nathan, and we call him Nate or Bob, whichever you've heard from the kids. But just sitting back and enjoying him and just thinking how different it was than the first time. The first time it was so much excitement, didn't really know what I was getting myself into. Had all these aspirations and goals for the kid, trying to plan out their lives and all that. And, you know, these 13 years later, I realized you can't really plan all that type of stuff. But I was just sitting there and I was holding Nathan and just thinking, you know, we're growing close to the end of the year and they got the new year coming and just thinking about this new creation. And what a fresh start it is, you know, for each and every one of us in our lives, you know, we all had this beginning point. So I'm just staring at him and just imagining different things that he'll experience in his life and all these different things and what God has in store for him and just praying over him and just being thankful for new creations and each of us enjoy. You know, I know Brother Jeff right now, he's waiting with his daughter for his first grandchild. I know it's going to be an exciting time and it's going to be a new chapter in their lives, but just thinking about all that and just thinking about the sermon today, just thinking about God and his plan for each and every one of our lives. And he's always in the business of restoration and new beginnings and new creations. So as we approach the new year, and a lot of us do this, we think about the fresh new start that God's given us, and we have a chance to reflect and go back. And a lot of us think about goals that we have in our lives and what we do for New Year's. So if anyone in here has had a New Year's resolution, a goal that they set for last year and didn't keep it, you can keep your hand down. So I'm sure it's everybody, unless you're like Noni. She was talking this morning. She had a goal of eating at a new restaurant every month of the year. So that's something that's pretty easily to be attained right there. But, you know, there are a lot of different goals that we set. You know, some of it's, you know, healthy. We want to start working out and getting eating better. Or, you know, we have all these different things that we could come up with. But a lot of times we do fail at these goals. And a lot of times we wonder, why do we fail so much at these goals? And so, you know, but a lot of times if we think about it, they're very vague goals, very ambiguous, and don't know even why we set these goals. Some people just set a goal just for the sake of setting a goal. And so a lot of times we fail at those goals. And sometimes we're successful. Sometimes we set really good goals. You might have set a goal this year to read your Bible throughout the entire year, which is a really good idea. You might have had a goal to pray more, to get involved in ministry and different things. But I think the problem with a lot of these goals is when we go through these goals, there are a lot of self-centered goals that we think about ourselves. So as we open God's Word today, I want us to think about that. I want us to think about the purpose of why we set these goals and what are we doing to achieve these goals. So I want to open with Philippians chapter 3, and I want to read in verse number 3 to start with. This is Apostle Paul, and he's speaking, and he's talking about himself. And he says, "For we, or the circumcisions, or the saved, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus and do not put confidence in the flesh. Although I have reasons for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he has grounds or more confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, regarding the law, a Pharisee, regarding zeal, persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is in the law, blameless." So we see here Paul, he's kind of just giving his resume about who he is and what he's been able to accomplish. And a lot of us, we kind of do that. We kind of grade ourselves on our own merits. We look at our past or what we've done, and we might say, hey, I did good at this. I had a good, successful year at work. We did a lot of stuff in ministry. I had a new kid or got a new job or bought a new truck. All these different things we can grade ourselves on, and we can say, hey, I had a pretty successful year. You know, I go to church. I do all these things. And so a lot of times without even realizing, we find ourselves boasting in our works. And Paul, he's not too fond of that. He's trying to tell the people, you know, these people who are judging themselves, and he says, hey, if anyone has room to brag, I have room to brag. You know, and he talks about these things that he was able to do, you know, Hebrew of Hebrews, born of this superior lineage, you know, and the fact that he was a Pharisee, the fact that he persecuted the church because he thought he was doing what was right. And so a lot of times when we're looking at our lives and we're thinking we're doing good, and then we're like Paul, sometimes we might get knocked off our horse like he did. So if we go to verse 7, he says, but everything was counted that was gained to me, I have considered to be lost because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own of the law, but the one that is through the faith in Christ. The righteousness of God is based on faith. So here's Paul. Here's his new goal. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. So Paul, you know, again, he gave his resume, said what all he's doing, but then he says, all that was worthless to me. I gained all these things. I gained reputation. He had gained wealth. The Pharisees were very wealthy. Everything was going good, but once he realized that there was something more, then his goals changed. So in our lives, we can think about all these different things. You know, if I read my Bible this year every day, and I prayed and did all these things, and no one else was affected by what I did, if it was all for me, then I kind of wasted this past year. It was worthless in God's eyes. So what is the goal? What did Paul say? He said his goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection. So the fact that it's not about us, you know, when we look at our goals, if we're aiming towards us and what can I do and I will do this and I, we hear that I way too much in the goals, and we need to reassess our goals. We need to reassess our lives and do what Paul did and change our focus to know what the new goal is. And so as Paul, as he's going through this life and he's going through these churches and he's teaching these people, I mean, he has given up a lot. I mean, he's left his home. He's left his family. He's done all these different things. And he's doing that so he can gain Christ. He's not for works, but he wants to gain the power of what Christ has given him. So what are these goals that he said? He said that he would to know him and his power, the resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. So the thing is, we look in Paul's life and we hear his testimony, him wanting to change, and we kind of wonder, well, what's the point? Why would Paul do that? What is so good about this God that we serve? Why is it so important for him to do that? And the thing is, because God is a creator of all things. You know, when God in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, he created the heavens and the earth. He did that with you and I in mind. If you look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So Paul's here, he has this insight into God. Not only did God create this heaven and this earth, and it wasn't without a plan. It wasn't just so we could just wander aimlessly and to start this church and to be a good person, all this stuff. No, God, before the foundation of the world, knew who Paul was. Not only did he know Paul, he knew who each and every one of us would be. And so he had a plan for each and every one of us in our lives. So when we set our goals and we set our ambitions, are we setting it for our will, or are we aligning it with what God's will is for our life? Because he very much has a plan for each and every one of us. If we think it's just to go through and to get married and to have kids and do all these things, we're really missing out on so much more than what God has for us. God has ordained for us to go out and to be witnesses, for when we have that saving grace, when God comes into our life, to change us. Just as Nathan was born and he has this fresh start whenever we receive Christ, we have a fresh start. And the good thing is, each and every one of us know we mess up. If I look back in my life this past year, even though, you know, I was trying to meet Mark, you know, do the different things that I've done and do it for God's glory, I still tripped and I still stumbled. And so the devil's job to do is to remind us of those things. He wants us to remember the times where we fail and say, you know what, you can't be used anymore. God doesn't have anything for you. I know what you did. Everyone knows what you did. And he tries to be able to just ruin God's plan and try to make us feel like we're worthless. But the good news is we are worthless and we are undeserving. But yet God, he still loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross and to give us that new life. And so it's a constant refreshing. Each day we can wake up with a purpose and a new purpose. Psalms 51:10 says, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, years ago I heard that verse, and that's been my prayer almost every morning, that God would create this new spirit, this new desire, because if we look around the world and what it has to offer, it constantly is just beating down the church. It's constantly beating down what God would have us to do. And it's offering us up other things, stuff that looks good, stuff that looks enticing. Say, you know, you'll be successful if you lose these 20 pounds this year. Hey, you're going to feel good about yourself and you're going to do great. And really, the sad part is the world's doing that, but also the church is doing that very much as well. You know, we're creating this atmosphere of you come to church to make you feel better, and what am I going to get out of it? There are a lot of places where they offer these awesome song services where people get really excited and they raise their hands and they do these things, which that's nothing wrong with that. But if it's all about coming to church to get fed and to feel better and to make you feel different, all about you, that's really where the devil wants you. He wants you focused on you, because if I'm making me better, I'm constantly working on me, then what about my neighbor? Then what about my coworker? What about my family? See, our focus isn't on them. And Paul understood that. Paul understood that, you know, whenever he was the Pharisee and he was growing up and learning all these things and persecuting the church, it was all about him. It was all about him keeping the law, keeping the commandments, and him, you know, trying to get in right standing with God. But the thing about that is we'll never earn enough, we'll never be good enough, and we'll never do enough. Now, we need to continue that, but the thing is when our focus changes, then God's able to use us in a greater way. Whenever Paul realized that, hey, this isn't about me anymore, this is about Jesus and what he's done, and I need to share this with everybody else, then that's whenever he impacted way more lives. Whenever he was just cutting down the church and all these things, nobody was coming to a saving knowledge, but he was causing a divide. But whenever he changed it around and he invested in people, then he gave up everything. And so when he did, he lost all that, but he counted as gain. And so when we see Jesus on the cross, we realize that, you know, the goal of what we're doing is about him. So why is that so important? And I think a lot of times when we're thinking about ourselves, we don't really focus on how great God is. I mean, we say our blessings right before we eat, before we go to bed at night, we'll say a prayer. If somebody's sick, we'll say a prayer. But it's really almost an ask and receive type relationship. And we forget just how great and how awesome God is. And I think if we would focus on God and just who he is and his awesomeness, then that would really change who we are. If Jesus walked in right now, everybody would rush to his feet and want to just talk to him and hold on to him. But the fact is, he lives inside of us each and every day, and he gives us that power to change us. So we have this God who, in the very beginning, who was with the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So they're together, but yet he thought so much about us that he said, you know what, I want to create these people and I want to love them. So before he created the earth, he thought about us and he created this plan. And so he did. And he created the plan and he created us, and then we had the fall. But God didn't give up on us. You know, he could have just scratched that away, threw that, tore it up and started afresh. But he knew that these people, us, could be regained. And so he had a plan that he would, through his prophets and through the law and through Moses, that he would reveal himself. You know, whenever Moses met with God on Mount Sinai, whenever the burning bush, and we hear that story and we all remember him talking about it, but the fact that God literally revealed who he was when he says, I am that I am, sent, I mean, that was powerful. You know, the fact that I am, interpreted from Yahweh, is the breath of life. So the fact that God was saying, hey, I am everything that you are, everything that you are with the breath that I've given you, I created you from dirt. Everything that's good about you is from me. And so he revealed his covenant. He revealed that he's not this distant God who is a deity who is just really cares about himself. He wants that relationship. And so not only did he want a relationship, but he was willing to do something about it. You know, he could have done all kinds of different things. You know, he could have maintained these sacrifices, these rituals, but it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't special enough. He knew that he had to do something that was radically different that no one had ever heard of. So what he did is he prophesied through his prophets that he would send his own son, himself, in the form of a human. And that's what we celebrated last week in Christmas. We celebrate the fact that Jesus, who humbled himself, who gave up all his power and his majesty, who was in the presence of angels and all these things perfect, he came down to earth and he took the form of humanity. And so he had goals while he was here. But his goals were never about himself. Every time Jesus talked to him, he talked about his Father's will. And he said that he wasn't good, but his Father was good. So through Jesus' life, he teaches us what his goals were. His goal was to come and to be a witness and to get baptized and to find these 12 men and to disciple those. And those 12 men would radically change the world. But the goal was that he would teach them through love and always point back to God. See, he could have came down and when he performed these miracles, said, hey, look what I did and all these different things, because he was still God. But yet he always deflected that And he always pushed that away because the time had to come, because he wanted all glory to be given to God, because he deserves that, because he loves us and he desires for that glory. So whenever Jesus came and he gave his life, it was the ultimate form of humility. He gave up everything that he could have. He could have come and set up his kingdom at that time and accepted all the power and all the different things. There's so many different things he could have done. And there's things that you and I can do. So when we think about this new year and we think about the goals that we set, what is going to be our focus and what do we have in mind? Why are we setting these goals? Are we setting these goals just because we want to have a happier year? Last year was kind of rough. We had some tough times. I just want a more joyful year. I want more peace. I want better. If it's all about you, then we really lost our focus. And it's not really what God has to do. Again, Paul talked about all these things that he did. You know, so if I set the goal this year to read my Bible every day and to pray and to do all these things, and not one person gets saved because of my ministry, then what's the purpose of that? It's really not why we're here. And in Matthew, God gives the Great Commission. He says to go out and make disciples. And so that should be our heart this year. Our desire this year should be to grow, and not numerically grow just to say, hey, we got a packed out church or we had to go up to two services. That shouldn't be the goal at all. But the fact that, hey, this one person that I knew was dying and going to hell, and now they'll get to spend eternity with me in heaven. And we have opportunities to do that. You know, this year is going to be tough for some people. You're going to go through certain things. There's going to be sicknesses. We might lose family members. There could be a whole array of what the world would consider negative things. But how we use that could be very positive. So my goal this year is to take every situation that others would think is gloomy and doesn't lead to ask, where's God? Well, I want to show them where God is. I want to show them God's in my life. I want to show them that God's in my family's life. I want to show them that, hey, God is right here beside me. And he's going to lead me through that time. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. We talked about working out. You know, our faith needs to be worked out. You can't just stay on the couch and watch people working out and expect to get better. No, you actually have to get up and go to the gym. Now, I'm not promoting everybody to go to the gym this year. What I'm saying is we need to work out our faith. We need to be able to realize that when these trials come, be thankful for that. I mean, that's a hard thing to do. I'm not sitting up here saying that's going to be easy. But with God, all things are possible. I was talking with Cindy the thing this week about, God's not going to give you anything you can't handle. And that's a poor message some people preach, that God won't give you anything you can't handle. The fact of the matter is he will give you a lot that you can't handle because he wants to know that he's there for you. You need to know how big and how awesome God is. The same God who resurrected people from the dead and he rose Christ and parted the Red Sea and all these miracles he did. You read throughout the whole Bible, all these great miracles. We just sometimes get lost and think they're Sunday school stories. But that same God who did all those things throughout the Bible is still the same God today. He's wanting to work these miracles. God is in heaven now. And he's seated and he's watching every single thing that we do. And he cares. He cares deeply about each and every one of us. And so if he gives that much level of care and everything to us, and he's done all these things for us, and he's given this new life, why wouldn't we want to do that in return for him? Why shouldn't we want to set our goals and fix our eyes upon God and his greatness? Because I think a lot of times, our focus too much is on the inward. If this year, 2018, we realize that this year is going to be all about God and all about his glory, and hey, it might mean giving up some things, are we willing to do that? And that's something I can't answer for any one of y'all. I can only answer for myself, and I can't even answer for my family. Each one of my family members, I talk to my kids all the time about their faith. You know, they can't borrow my faith. What I do every day of my life when I read or I pray or I witness to my friends, they get no credit for that. Okay, they need to have their own faith. So I try to teach them that, and I grow and disciple them. So that's our jobs to see where we're at. We need to take inventory of our lives, and not a place where, you know what, I messed up, I'm not worthy. That's not the inventory I'm talking about. We need to take an honest look at our lives and say, where is my focus? What have I done this year for me, and what have I done for God? And what am I going to do differently in 2018? Because I believe God could have done it a different way. He could have not made these new years. But this is an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for us to look forward, to have a plan and a vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. So we each need a personal vision for our lives. You know, the church needs a vision, but we personally need to look and assess and say, where am I going? What direction is my life? If somebody were to follow me the rest of my life and all of 2018, where would I lead them? Because the fact of the matter is people are being led by you. Whether you realize or not, our influence is very powerful. People know each and every one of you, and they know where you go to church, and they know your actions. They live it out with you every single day. So what are we going to do? How are we going to grow? How are we going to learn? And how are we going to change? And the thing is, we don't have to do it alone. I mean, that's the reason God's given us this church. So share that. If we have a goal, get up with somebody and mentor them. If they need to be mentored, or if you need mentoring, say, hey, look, I need some help this year. I want to be encouraged, and I want to change my path. I want to give God all the glory and honor that he deserves. Because the good thing about this is, you know, I talked a lot this morning about some of the more difficult times, different stuff. But God is not going to leave us in such a position. He's not going to give us more. He will give us what we can't handle so he can be there. But the good news is, you know, a lot of the pains and the struggles that go through in life will one day lead to great joy. In Revelations 21, verses 4 and 5, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. Then one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. So you see, we have the promise and we have the hope. We can look forward this next year and be uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know one thing's for certain, that there will be a day where we will get to stand next to Jesus and we'll get to honor him and spend eternity with him, and he'll wipe away every tear. There'll be no more pain, no more death. All the things that this life just really beats us down with, we have hope and joy, and we can look forward to that peace and that promise that he's given it to us. And we can enjoy that now. We don't have to be discouraged whenever these times come. We should have joy. People should see the smile on our face and see something different about us, because we got the cheat. We know what's happening at the end. You know, we can play. It's so much easier when we know the outcome. We know who's going to win the game. We have it. The winning team is us. And with Jesus, he's promised that he's given us all these things, and he's given us the tools today to go on through this next year. So next week, I'm going to talk more about some of the goals and some of the tools that we can talk about. But I want us to focus today, as we go home this week, just to focus on who is God to you, who is God in your life, and take inventory. What has God done in your life? What are some of the good things that he's done? And just see how worthy he is and how awesome he is, and what he means to each and every one of us. If you have trouble with that, if you're struggling and saying, I just don't see that, then maybe you don't know who Jesus is yet. Maybe you don't really understand the fact that he's come in, and maybe he hasn't been your Savior and given you this new hope and this new life. And I would encourage you, if you don't have that settled, to find out today. Don't wait. We're going to have a time of a closing invitation here in a moment. But as we go through that, again, take inventory. See where God has in your life. Realize, if we had these goals, what is God's goals for my life? So, you know, look back at the goals you have for 2017 and ask yourself, what is going to be my goal for 2018? How am I going to serve God and give glory to everything we do?